News just in, PZ Myers, in grumpy cynicism shocker, laments white guy's death, but grudgingly.
Fun moment retarded school teacher shows us how to be better Tranai allies.
And in other news, Suey Park said some shit. Initial reports show nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
Have you lost your mind?
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Anti-Social Justice Podcast. My name is John, and joining me as always is...
Hello, my name is John. That's not right. My name is Zoe.
Did you forget your own name?
No, I just wanted to be you because you're the cool one.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah. That could be true somewhere, maybe. I'm sure somebody thinks that. It's not my mum. I was going to say it's my mum, but it's definitely not my mum. Right, so...
Do you sort of hope your mum doesn't listen?
No, my mum is probably one of the people in real life that I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't care.
Okay.
I hope my fiance never listens.
Yeah.
I hope my child never listens. No, I wouldn't be bothered if my mum heard it. She tends to play. I've had the conversations with her where I've tried to talk about these kind of issues. Talk at her. She just glazes over and loses interest. Yeah, mansplain to her.
Yeah. If she wants to wear an Adidas tracksuit, though, and come on our awesome epic night out, she sounds kind of cool then.
You really got your heart set on this teaming tracksuits and whatnot.
I've got my heart set on it, yeah.
You have to come to the neon room. We can dress up in like glow-in-the-dark paint and everything. It'd be awesome. So
that'd be awesome.
This podcast is kind of a, as you may have guessed from the headline intro type thing, this is just a little bit of everything. We haven't got one overall topic. We've just picked a few small ones and we're going to briefly touch on them inappropriately and then move on to the next.
It's a mashup, like yes. a montage. But, podcast montage.
Before we get that far, we have a few Twitter handles to shout out, starting with Shadow of a Doubt, who we've shouted out like 18 times. And as he pointed out on Twitter just recently, not long before we started recording, we've been spelling it wrong.
We've shouted him out, but in a failing way.
Much like at Zoe Jen with no underscore, the Shadow of a Doubt that we've been linking to is apparently a protected account with no tweets or few tweets.
I don't know what's up with these people that nab all the best handles and then like protect their accounts, but for no reason because they don't say anything interesting. What's that about?
Oh, the at John Bullock has been taken since, like, I'm really annoyed because it wasn't taken when I joined Twitter. But at the time, I was like, I'm just Beegree. I'm Beegree on everything. I'm not going to need my name. I want Beegree. Dickhead. Mm-hmm. But like shortly after I joined Twitter, it got taken. It's never tweeted. It's got like 5 followers. One of them is me. The rest of them are spam accounts. It's never tweeted a single word.
It's just selfish, really, isn't it? Mm.
Damn it, Twitter. Never mind all this harassment. Fix this kind of problem.
Kick off the people who really deserve to be kicked off.
Yeah.
So that Shadow of a Doubt is a fellow underscorer.
Yes.
Like me.
You do like your underscores.
You need to write, yeah, all the best people have underscores, obviously, but you need to write Shadow _ of a Doubt.
Well, on that note about all the best people have underscores, here's a few people who have no underscores. So the rest of the shout-outs go to Sheila Blackadder. I think we've shouted, I mean, it's Blackadder, but it's missing an R on the end. I think possibly
for the handle,
character limit, or maybe, I don't know. Who's a friend of the podcast, and she's also on the A News podcast that we shouted out last time. Very funny lady.
Absolutely.
Not a million miles away from Sheila Blackadder is Anton A. Hill. Anton A. Hill. Not an ant on a hill. He's never heard that one before.
No, I'd be embarrassed to admit how long it took me to even notice that.
Is there a particular reason you've put him on, or is it because of the hopefully impending podcast that we're going to be doing with him?
A, we're hoping to do an impending podcast with him, but B, what those were, and also Subman USN, they were just thanks for retweeting the link to the last episode.
Oh, okay.
So that was just people that sort of promoted us. Anton Hill, actually, I should mention, troll promoted me by... by saying, why is Zoe Jen _ so transphobic? And then putting that link in. Or why does she hate agender people or something like that, he wrote. So it was a little bit controversial, but okay, I suppose.
Yeah, she did.
So you've got to live with that.
I've just reassigned his gender. He did the same to me. He tweeted, why does Beegree hate wheelchair people in wheelchairs? Yeah.
So sort of thanks, fucking thanks a lot. Yeah. You fucking thanks.
So hopefully to Anton for those. In as near a future as we can manage, we're hoping to get Anton on the podcast to have a discussion about ableism, because
and maybe to take some revenge.
Yeah. Because unlike us, he is somewhat qualified to talk on this subject. Whereas we just blindly stumble into everything we talk about and hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice that we've got some friends who know some things.
Yeah.
That's going to be an advantage to us at some point. The only problem we have with Anton is that we're on quite a big time difference. So it's a little bit difficult to set up, but we would really love to have him on. And thanks for retweeting the link to everybody who did so. And sorry if we've missed anybody out as well. But those were the three I came up with off the top of my head after half a bottle of wine. And you've put in, for some other general shout-outs, you put in Atheist Sam.
I mean, we love him. Yeah, because he moans a lot.
What did he do?
He just moans.
He moans a lot.
Yeah, he moans a lot.
Yeah. recently unfollowed me, although he didn't really, of course, for having hair. I'm not sure what that was about.
Seems reasonable.
I have linked to a tweet here of somebody who think we should just shout out for being awesome. I believe this person to be a woman based on the fact that I've seen Subman, who is an authority, as we know, referring to the account as ma'am. So I'm presuming it's a woman, although that might be gratuitously phobic of me.
The name does say Mrs. Indy, and not the actual handle, but the name says Mrs. Indy. So,
I did not, in fact, notice that.
Well.
But the tweet I thought that just deserved a shout out, apart from the fact that we like this person a lot, was something that said, "I actively dislike BazChat and Sui. I also follow Uber Feminist. Level one me."
Oh.
I just thought that was such an awesome tweet that it deserved a shout out because it was very relevant.
If she's that desperate to get on level one, just tweet something like, "I believe all transgendered people should have the right to identify as it."
Yeah.
That's all it took for me.
That's all it took.
After what, 2 years or however long the BlockBot's been around, of never getting past level two and actually being downgraded to level three.
You got downgraded at one point. I remember that. Yeah.
After all that, all it took was me saying, "If you want to call yourself an it, by all means, call
feel
yourself
free."
It. Yeah.
I know. Who would have thought it? As you said, they're letting all the riffraff in
these
days. I
know. It's just not the exclusive club.
That account. I know. And it just is rubbish, isn't it? That account is at Rising Sci, as in SCI.
As in science, I'm guessing.
Science, I'm guessing. So that I just thought was such an awesome tweet. We'd do a shout out for that. And then just people that have told me they've listened. I don't know whether this is not an exhaustive list by any means at all, but just people that the last few days have said to me that they listened is at Lyle, L-Y-A-L-L, at Clownfall, as in the words clown and the word fall, and at Stefan B. Nielsen for listening.
Probably.
And it's Stefan B. Nielsen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And that's by no means everybody, I'm sure, or I hope not, because that's only three people. That's depressing. But that is just people that have contacted us to say they've listened recently in the last few days. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, genuinely, to everybody who listens.
And obviously I will put all the Twitter handles in the show notes so you don't have to memorize the names.
The thing is, they won't spell them correctly, though, so it'll be all use to anybody. No.
Just to be awkward, I'm going to leave Shadow Doubt's underscore off, and I'm going to start removing Zoe's.
Yeah. And maybe those two people, underscoreless people, will meet and fall in love, and it'll be a romantic story, and then we'll get credited, and it'll make the mainstream media, and next thing you know, bam, we're famous.
Yeah, I don't.
When we said this is going to be a random mashup, we weren't fucking kidding, were we? Right.
Yeah, should we actually get on to something that might interest people?
Let's do that. Let's go
on
to something.
So we've got our three, as the headlines should have given away, our three topics involving Sui Park, PZ Myers, and what was her name? Nicole something? Nicole Mullen?
Yes, it is Nicole something. It starts with an M.
Mullen. Ooh.
Mullen.
I know somebody called Mullen. Not mullet, as I was just thinking it might have been. Does she have a mullet? Who knows? A post by her about how to be a better ally to trans people.
Mm-hmm. Heavy emphasis on the sarcasm.
Yeah. So which should we go in the order? We have things in the dock.
We have things in the dock out of order as well, don't we? So.
I mean, well, it's just Sui Park's first. It would kind of make sense to get. It's like, you know, when you've got like a nice meal You always eat your least, or at least I always eat my least favorite thing first, and just like get it out of the way, and then it leaves you with the nicer stuff to eat afterwards. So like peas, for example. If I'm determined to eat the whole meal, I will get peas out of the way to begin with, so it's all good after that. Let's get Suey Park out of the way now.
Working on that principle, yeah, definitely. I don't do that with like a meal, but I definitely do it with sweeties. I would always save like the red and black ones for the last, because they're always the best. With like fruit-flavored sweets.
I've never been a sweet person. I'm a chocolate person.
That's because you're incredibly fit.
By that, I'm not saying I'm black.
Yeah, that's some white chocolate.
That's a good point. I forgot there was white chocolate.
Racist.
I know.
Oh my God, that's chocolatist.
I'm white chocolate passing. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. So. Whereas I can pass for a strawberry flavoured Skittle.
Only when you've been out in the sun.
Cheek. You're the one that went on Anton Hill's atheist asshole hangout, sunburned like a fucking lobster.
That's true. That is true.
Pleasing caramel brown colour.
Check that tan out. Is that? No, that doesn't look very tanned at all.
Suey Park.
Yeah, Suey Park.
Pleasing Suey Park. Cappuccino colour.
Yeah, we're going to say she looks tanned. No, that's not good. Don't do that.
She could pass for caramel coloured.
She could pass for a human being in a bad light.
In moonlight.
Yeah, in moonlight. Yeah, but in moonlight she turns into I was going to say werewolf, but I don't want to offend other kin or whatever.
Disparage werewolves. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We've got two examples. I mean, she seems to have stepped up recently. She's always there, like in the background, making noises that some people listen to. But recently she seems to have managed to find something that has attracted a bit of attention. So we have two examples of Suey Park. She's got Suey Parkitis. Suey-itis.
She is, well, a champion attention seeker. But the thing that I just find that above all of them that you ever read and all the shit that we read when we're looking at things for this podcast, she stands alone. Nobody holds a candle to her when it comes to babbling, incomprehensible crap. The woman she's just illiterate in the way that she talks. I mean, what the fuck is she on about? I've seen some of the uber feminist blog posts where she quotes her directly, and it is incoherent gibberish. It really is.
I'm just trying to find a good example.
There is good examples. I had some earlier on Uber Feminist. But I Googled her because her whole thing is that people call her disparagingly, obviously, a hashtag activist, which is exactly what she is, if that.
I mean, oh, yeah. When she latches onto a hashtag, she'll go like 15, 30, 60, 80, 100 tweets on that hashtag.
Yeah.
And not talking to people, just tweeting.
Just tweeting. And really, you know, we could have, well, we are going, I think, to do a future episode on the merits or demerits of hashtags just in and of themselves. So to be a hashtag activist, it's almost really an oxymoron, I would say. But she is that, if you want to give her the benefit of the doubt, call her that. Funny, everything I say is funny. That is why I'm here.
Not that kind of funny. Funny as in that's a coincidence, because I was just thinking there was another story by Uber Feminist that I saw about Suey Park. Doesn't actually involve Suey Park. It's Tim Wise. Name rings a bell, but I can't think where from.
Well, because she's all over him on Twitter. She's over him like a rash.
Oh, yeah, she is now. But I just mean, when I first saw this, was like the name Tim Wise rang a bell, but I couldn't remember where from. Well, anyway, this Storyfy is a load of tweets by him. But at some point, I guess somebody alerts him to the fact that Suey Park's having a go at him. And he kind of turns his attention to her. And one of his tweets actually does say, Twitter activists are not activists and hashtag activism is an oxymoron. Emphasis on the last five letters of that word.
Oh, that's a good tweet. Funnily enough, the only reason I've heard his name is from looking at her timeline earlier. And just based on what she was accusing him of, I was thinking to myself, I quite like this person. And now you've said that. Even more so, that's definitely confirmed it. But she alone was enough to give you the impression that that guy was on the right tracks in many ways. I Googled her. All you get on Google for her is her Twitter profile and her Facebook profile. And then you get links to a salon.com article, which was to do with the cancel Colbert Is he called Colbert or Cobert?
Colbert.
Hashtag thing, right. Glossing over that.
Colbert.
Can you stop that now?
Colbert.
Okay. May I continue?
Colbert.
Don't you talk incomprehensible gibberish, because it makes me slagging her off for it. Look like I've got the wrong sort of friends. Is this the level? Is it? Raise the level. Raise it.
Guardians
raise it.
Of the Galaxy.
What do you think the answer to that is?
That's a good point. You don't watch films. Uncultured. Carry on. Finish before that thought escapes your blonde head. Carry on.
That all of the things you get on Google that aren't her Facebook and Twitter profiles are links to the Salon.com article when she did the cancel Colbert hashtag. And the majority of them are sarcasm based. They're linking to it saying, here's an analysis of the Salon.com article so that you don't have to read it yourself, so we spare you from reading it. It's that type of thing. And so basic conclusion from this is that she is a nobody. She has a Twitter profile, but she is nobody. Nobody cares. Nobody's heard of her. She's inserted herself somewhat successfully in terms of literally being physically present into some media outlets, but she is a person who has zero impact. If you Google me, you get my Facebook and my fucking Twitter and nothing else. I mean, you know, there is no...
I've got a feeling the rest of this part about talking about Zoe Park is going to be me drawing from the Tim Weiss story fire, because funnily enough, it's funny you should say that. Two of his tweets. I don't know at Sui Park. I've organized in New Orleans public housing for economic justice, helped defeat neo-Nazis running for office, tried to help educate white folks about white supremacy and privilege for 25 years. What have you at Sui Park done other than tweet a lot? Yeah, burn.
And I saw one from her that said, yeah, because 25 years of activism is the same thing as 25 years of living as a woman of colour.
Oh, that was it, because apparently he said on one of his tweets in this story, if I can't be as finding it, don't need to quote it verbatim, but sorry. He said something like, apparently she'd complained last year or in the past that he was getting paid more than her. I'm assuming, I haven't seen the complaint, but I don't think it's a wild assumption to make that she probably worked race and or gender into it. You know, like the fact that he's a white man is probably why he's getting paid more than her. The point he had to make was he's been doing these talks or whatever for like 25 years. She's been around for 2 years or however long.
Yeah, and also what work is she doing?
Exactly.
Other than tweeting a lot, which is free. Yeah.
Somebody I've not seen before, but pretty obvious what side of this fence she falls on, is Tim Wise really condemning Twitter activists, calling them, quote, morons and mansplaining to Sui Park? Fuck that noise.
I know, I saw that one. Fuck's sake, is it not an accurate summary? I'm sorry. This is a tweet from her. This is only 21 hours old, I've noted in here. This is a tweet from her where she has written... And this reminds me very much of what's-her-face, Sophia Photos, saying that when you make me an advocate for our whole group, it weighs me down and I cannot be strong every day. All of this shit. Who do these people think they are? So this is Sui Park, like yesterday, saying it's easy to think those of us who laugh a lot, do you? Or accomplish big things are exceptional when often we are plagued deeply with depression. I don't know if she's trying to align herself to Robin Williams, we're going to go to in the next headline. That occurred to me there that's maybe what she's trying to do. But really, like, Sui, what you do is you tweet a lot. You don't accomplish a lot of big things. And that just makes me laugh. Oh, my God. These people that, like, think that their profile and that their responsibility and their spokespersonship is such a burden to bear, when really it's just a self-appointed position that nobody's fucking asked you to do. Could log off any time if you're that depressed.
Was it Sui that you said, I can't remember exactly what the tweet was, but you read a tweet to me from someone, and it was something along the lines of, I can't remember what the words were, but it was basically someone saying that a white man, I might just read it before the podcast, a white man can't have opinions on a woman or a black person or whatever because they can't possibly understand what they're going through because they haven't lived it. So there's no possible way that a white man could like have an opinion on how a black woman should deal with something because they haven't lived through their experiences.
Yeah. Well, there's millions of tweets like that. I don't
know
the guy specifically read you something like that, but we see that all the time.
Right, okay. Well, I think I saw Sui Park say something like that, or you read it, or so, whatever. It's if she didn't say it, it's not going to be unreasonable to think that she thinks it.
I know, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, but the thing that always makes me laugh about that is, but by the same logic, then they can't then tell white people or men that they are not suffering more. Oh my God, have you fallen off your desk? What the hell happened? It's a lovely ceiling, by the way.
It's a non-event, because all I was doing is plugging in my charger. But it was further to reach than I anticipated, and so I ended up pulling the computer with me and showing you the ceiling. It just was my... I'm going to have to just fix that. Can you talk amongst yourself?
Yeah, it's charging. It's just by the same logic as saying that you, a white person, can't have an opinion on how Baz Chatty Watty, whatever her face is, can deal with an issue because you don't have her lived experiences of being a whatever she is, a Desi or woman of colour or whatever. That exact same logic means that she can't then turn around and say that her experiences are worse than your experiences because she hasn't lived your experiences. It's funny that the whole thing about you can't judge from the outside is only valid up until the point where they start judging your life from the outside.
Yeah, exactly. And also, further to that, that's one side of it. And then the other side of it is that, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's human. Everybody goes through things. You know, you assume that people have a baseline level of empathy and that they're not completely without imagination and completely without the faculties to understand human suffering. I mean, like, it would be like saying, no, nobody knows how bad it feels to be a starving child in Africa, but that doesn't mean that everybody doesn't universally think that it's awful and feel like, you know, quite a lot of almost physical pain when you think about it, which is not, it's not to say that it's as bad as experiencing it, but it doesn't need to be necessarily. Why does it need to be as bad as experiencing it to still be able to claim that you understand and empathize with it? I mean, if all of us were in the maximum amount of pain, experiencing the worst things that a human being can experience to the maximum in order to be able to feel empathy, then none of us would be in any condition to do anything about it, right? Because we would all be writhing in agony.
Yeah.
You need some people that are not in that situation that have a slight distance from it. Sometimes you need those people to be able to actually do some help. I mean, Bob Geldof couldn't have done Band-Aid if he himself was personally starving, right? I mean, I don't really see...
Or at least sober.
I don't really see that argument from either side of it, to be honest. Because it depends, obviously, what you're trying to say. No, but I don't see many people claiming that they know what it feels like to be raped if they haven't been raped. But you might see people claiming that they can, to some extent, understand and imagine the pain of it. And if they weren't able to say that and imagine that they could feel that, then they wouldn't be able to be sympathetic to it either. So what would be the point of the whole thing of trying to help people and have empathy for them?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't.
There's no logic to it. There wouldn't. There's no logic to it. I'm going to do some of the stupid tweets later are going to be some more of Sui, so I won't do them now. I'll save them for when we get to the stupid tweets at the end. I think I've got two. They're both, one's a retweet from her and one is a direct tweet from her. So
okay.
There's a couple more points to make, but maybe we can come back to them.
I'm sure we can.
Mm-hmm. Should we go on to PZ? We can call him Z, I guess, because I suppose if we're using his name like a proper noun,
PZ.
Yeah. Myers, did you see that video, that Pieces video that's on YouTube?
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? And Robin Williams, this is the, how do we pronounce the name of this fucking blog? I never know what it is that you say.
Pharyngula?
Pharyngula? Pharyngula, I think.
Pharyngula.
Yeah, Pharyngula. Exactly. That made us look quite cool. He has done a blog. You will put the link, obviously, into the notes so that people can go and look at it if they haven't already seen it. It is all over Twitter. Where he basically, I mean, I've got the blog up here. I could read out an extract of it, but it basically starts with the following sentence. Wait a minute. Sorry, I was far down in the comments. It starts with the following sentence. I'm sorry to report that comedian Robin Williams has committed suicide, an event of great import and grief to his family, but his sacrifice has been a great boon to the news cycle and the electoral machinery. Thank God that we have a tragedy involving a wealthy white man to drag us away from the depressing news about brown people. So as we were doing the headlines sort of things in the beginning here, we've made a note here that I love the way this starts with, I'm sorry to report, like we go to PZ for our news and events, like he's reporting it. Like, are we getting this fresh information hot off the press from his fucking blog? And then, of course, you know, he says, I'm sorry to report, but he totally isn't sorry. He's just using it to further his own agenda, which is to go on to imply that the whole point isn't that, is that the news isn't really important to anybody except Robin Williams's family, and that anybody that thinks that they're affected by this but does not know Robin Williams other than as a famous person is being a dick for caring about it at all. And it carries on in that vein, brings in a lot of things that he has an agenda to make political points about racism and police shooting black people. And then it has a completely bizarre conclusion. Now, I don't know, let's do a disclaimer on this here. This woman that is in the end of the blog post, it's a Facebook profile with a big picture of the woman's face and a big quote from a status that she's put on Facebook. But just, are we supposed to know who that is? Is it just that we don't because we're not American? Is she somebody that Americans know who is? Or is she just like some random woman? I don't know. Is she his fucking neighbor? Does he have her on Facebook? I don't know. It seems to me, isn't it a random white woman? But of course, I may be totally wrong about that. So if like 15 people tweet saying that is clearly the senator for Illinois, then obviously I apologize for that. But he finds and assuming it to be a private person, doxes also, surely, because it's got a picture of their face all over the internet for people that are not friends with them on Facebook. Some woman who is a horrendous and quite extraordinarily ignorant racist. But I'm not sure what he's really trying to prove. Obviously, there are individual horrible racist people, but she isn't the commissioner of police, is she? She isn't a prominent politician. So how are her horrible comments? How are they really? She goes on this massive rant about black people and how they're basically the sort of scum of the earth and all what's wrong with them in society and how it's not surprising that they get shot, really. But I'm not seeing in any way whatsoever how it's indicative of endemic institutional racism in the police or of failure to report on real news of black citizens being killed versus white celebrities killing themselves. I don't see what the relevance is to that either, because it's just some bint being really horrible about black people on Facebook. I don't get it, but maybe she is somebody that people have heard of.
Well, I definitely don't recognize her, and yeah. even if it was like one of the most recognizable people on the planet, it's still poorly inserted into the article because it doesn't really.
Well, isn't it? Because wouldn't you want to explain who it was then? It would give slightly more point to it if she was some sort of politician. However, she's still not speaking on a political platform. This has got the absolute tone of a private Facebook page. And she's making the comment to somebody called Thomas Ryan. She's called Catherine Nardi, N-A-R-D-I. Could have Googled her. Why didn't I think of that? That was slightly poor journalism, wasn't it? She's talking to somebody called Thomas Ryan. And so I don't know where he's pulled that up from, but he's put it into this post without any context whatsoever. And if he assumes that he's got a bit of a readership and that they're not all, it's at best very American-centric to assume that everybody would have heard of her if she is in fact somebody that Americans have heard of. Does he not think he has a wide international audience? Racism, it only extends to black people getting shot. It doesn't extend to giving some context for people that might not know obscure Americans to your European readers.
Actually, your... tweeted about this and said something along the lines of, did he complain about how much press the Ferguson situation, the shooting and the subsequent police involvement and all that sort of thing, how much press that took away from Gaza? Because if we're talking about the scale of tragedy, then yes, the fact that all these people are being like effectively put into a police state in Ferguson is worse than one man taking his own life. But on the other hand, it's nowhere near the scale of tragedy that's going on in Gaza or the Ukraine or Syria. You know, so, I mean, like, I've had this discussion, or I say discussion, I've tried to make this point to feminists and transgender people all the time, you know, like, when they sort of take the approach that if you're not taking up my cause, then you're part of the problem. And like, well, that's not the way it works. I mean, like, your cause is your cause, but it doesn't necessarily have to be my cause if I haven't got any personal skin in the game. If I'm going to take up every single cause, then none of the causes mm-hmm. are going to get anything meaningful from me because I'm going to be so stretched thin. So I have to pick and choose which causes I'm going to fight for. It's all right them saying, oh, so you don't want equal rights for women because you're not, like, waving a feminist banner. But it's like, just because that's your cause, that doesn't mean I'm going to try not to make it worse. I'm going to try not to impinge on women's rights or make it support anything that's wanting to take away women's rights. But why do I have to be fighting for whatever it is that you're fighting for just because that's your battle?
Mm-hmm.
And when you try and point out that there are other battles that are just about empirically worth, like, grander, so like starvation in Africa, the Syria thing, any of the stuff that's happening in the Middle East at any given time, at any point in history, because there's always something happening there, you try and point out that that's a far more pressing need than making, for example, like conferences in the West less creepy for women. Then
right.
they just go, I can't believe that. What kind of argument is that? It's the Dear Muslimah thing, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And also, you know, you could choose to look at this as raising the Robin Williams thing, raises awareness of mental health, it destigmatizes suicide and depression and rehab. Right. So, I mean, you could. No, I said it first. I was the original.
No, I don't mean from the communities we're talking. I listen to podcasts and read news from outside of the social justice sort of thing. And I've heard a lot of people say that it's hopefully going to raise awareness for mental illness.
Right. So, I mean, you could, if you wanted to look at it positively, you could do that. You could take that route with it. I also think this comes back a little bit to what we were saying on the last episode as well about, like, any individual person absolutely has the right to say that they reject conformity to gender stereotypes. And if they choose to divorce themselves from what are considered norms, then that's no problem whatsoever for that individual. However, you can't expect the rest of us to go against what really at this point feels like sort of human nature to us, which is just to make assumptions on things that appear to us to be very reasonable and normal in everyday life. This again is the thing about being, people are interested in celebrities, just get over it. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I personally couldn't fucking stand Robin Williams, but that's not really, you know, the point. The point is that these things make news disproportionately, I'm sure, in terms of column inches, but people are interested in celebrities. They do feel that they know them. They do feel a vested interest in their lives and well-being and the things that they do and the things that they buy and the things that they eat and all of those things. And it's, you know, you can't turn around now and expect the entire society to reject its entire interest in celebrities just because you're trying to make some kind of snarky point about it. And I think that further to that, what he's doing here is something which is quite damaging as well, in the sense that he's totally conflating skepticism with cynicism, because this whole entire blog post is just sort of nasty cynicism, really, isn't it? It was totally gratuitous, totally unnecessary. He isn't making a good point that's worth stating. He isn't making anybody think, yes, actually, maybe I should reevaluate the way that I was viewing that here. He is just being grumpy and cynical. And I think that in terms of the atheist and skepticism movement, which he claims to represent, is just to the detriment of all of us as well, because he's banging a drum that just makes skeptics look like dicks in a way. I think, well, not that I think he represents us, but yeah.
One of the people in the comments, in his comments, actually made a good point. I can't remember which study he cited, but it's basically your average person has something like a certain inner circle of 200 people, which includes like family, friends, and then extends out to like celebrities and stuff. And these are people mm-hmm. these are people that your average person cares about. Anything outside mm. of that circle is never gonna, like, so I think the example he gave was something like 100 people dying outside of that circle will not emotionally impact somebody as much as one person inside that circle dying. And it's right. And thinking about it, it makes, I don't know, I haven't, like I said, he didn't include a link, so I don't know if he was just pulling figures out of his ass or if there was a study, but it makes total sense, because you think about it, humans didn't evolve in a city of a million people, they evolved in little tribes and villages and whatever. It makes complete mm-hmm. sense that we're able to think in a scale of a couple of hundred people and like feel for those people and have emotional connections with those people. But like, I mean, try and imagine the distance from Earth to the next star, Like, just try and put that distance in your head. The human brain is just not able to deal with it. And it's the same thing when you get over a certain amount of people. We're just not mentally equipped to deal with that kind of thing. And if this guy's right, or if this study is anything like, then that's all it is. All these people have Robin Williams in their circle, this celebrity that they liked and they care about. They don't know anybody in Ferguson. So the fact that all these black kids that probably are losing sympathy by going around and looting shops and, like, you know, stealing and robbing and all that, these people aren't going to be as concerned for those people because they don't see it as a frigging racial issue where the state is crushing the black man or black woman or whatever. They see it as there's been some injustice in the initial shooting, and now all these people are making it worse by effectively turning the place into a martial frigging law.
Yeah.
But they don't know any of those people.
And I think that people, they go into a more sort of analytical space in their heads when they think about that type of thing. If you've got distance from something, whatever it would be, you might feel completely awful about it. You might feel sick to your stomach thinking about it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have the same emotional response to it as you do when it's something that's really close to home. It's just completely natural. I think, like, you know, if you take the example of the Anders Behring Breivik thing in Norway, where he shot the young people on the island, that hit home to the Norwegian population in a completely different way than starving children in Africa does. It doesn't mean that people don't care about starving children. That's completely wrong to say. It just means that you cannot escape the sort of innate, just to call it human nature, to use a convenient phrase, really. You can't escape that sort of innate feeling that which is closer to home is more real to you. It's closer to you. It's more vivid. It's in technicolor. It hurts more. And it feels more, anything feels more like it could have been you, has more impact on you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're an uncaring, unfeeling person. So I think his whole point here was really quite redundant. It is what it just smacks of is him trying to push an agenda of being seen as this really awesome, like, black person ally. And he really doesn't, he's really just banging this drum of being, like, anti-racist, and he's daring to, like, go against the police and be like, yeah, fuck you, society, and all of this shit. And really, it just doesn't come across as genuine at all. It really comes across as using Robin Williams' death. To what extent you personally feel that that's a tragedy, since you've never met the man, is obviously going to be everything from 1 to 1 million on the scale, entirely depending on how you view it. But this just really smacks of PZ using it to further his own agenda and try to make himself look awesome to his fans that read his weirdly titled blog.
Sorry, I think that did you say PZ is his agenda?
Oh, did I?
His agenda.
Agenda.
Not agenda.
Shit. What is it? I've lost it. Agender. As in asexual. Which gender? agenda. Am I saying it wrong? I don't know how to spell it. That's holding me back. Does it end with an A?
Which gender are you talking about now? The agenda that is not one gender or the other, or agenda as in I have an agenda?
As in I have an agenda for this blog post today, and it's to make myself look awesome.
That ends in an A.
Agenda.
Yeah, agenda.
Whereas, like a ninja.
Whereas the one that is neither one gender nor the other is spelled agenda.
Mm-hmm. Gender.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail you there.
No, I was finished. I was waffling on, but to be fair, we did say at the beginning that we were going to do that today.
So yeah, the comments on that post are quite entertaining because it starts off with a lot of with a surprising amount of dissent among the ranks. You know, people not happy with the cashing in on somebody. Let's face it, that's what he's doing. Cashing in on a person's death. Not only a person, but a much loved person. So that's probably not going to help. But slowly, as you get down the comments, you get more and more people siding with PZ until it's pretty much all, yay, go you, PZ, you're the best. I wish I could suck your cock if you had one.
Oh, it's so sweet.
I don't want to talk about him anymore. It makes me sick. Oh,
he makes me say sick one thing.
So I saw Uber Feminist post something last night about him. He was doing a talk in Hebden Bridge, and I was looking at it and going, oh, Hebden Bridge, there's a Hebden Bridge in America. And I went to look up this talk, like, to say, I just out of curiosity, I wondered what this American Hebden Bridge looked like. Turned out it was actually not an American Hebden Bridge, it was the British Hebden Bridge, which is half an hour from where I drive. So PZ Myers last night was, you know, within 30 minutes of my house. And I had no idea.
Had he been at the Humanism Conference in Oxford? Is that why he was in England?
Well, no, because I'm nowhere near Oxford.
Well, it's all relatively near to an American, isn't it?
You mean, was he there and because he was over here for that? Right, okay, I don't know.
Maybe.
Very possibly. Well, the place he was doing in Hebden Bridge was basically a pub.
Hebden Bridge sounds like the kind of place that is a Roman bridge and a pub.
Yeah, no, it's a bit bigger than that.
Knocked into one.
It does have a it does have a very large gay following. Well, I say gay following, like gay,
a gay following,
community.
A bridge has a gay following.
No. The Hebden Bridge is the name of the place. It's not just a bridge. It's quite. It's a very ornate, very picturesque village with a lot of pubs. But I just mean the place he was doing was effectively just a pub. So I would be surprised if he did just come over for that one show, that one event.
No, I would. I'm guessing he was in Oxford last week.
But if I'd have had a bit more advance warning, I could have gone and pulled a fire alarm or something.
Yeah, or summoned an army of gays to beat him up under the bridge.
But he's an ally to the gays and the blacks and the women and the trans and basically anyone but his own.
If ever anybody was in this game to try to feel the vaginas of 20-year-old women, that middle-aged perv is him. That's my theory, and I'm totally sticking to it.
You're just bitter because that excludes your, 45-year-old vagina?
John, that's really mean. My vagina is as old as the bridge in, what's it called, Hebden? Hepworth? Sorry, what did you say it was called?
Hebden Bridge.
How old is that? Is it Roman?
I don't know. Probably not.
Georgian? Victorian?
Yeah, Victorian, Georgian sounds more like it. Who knows?
Well, in that case, my vag is older. It's true. It's true. I date back to the empire.
Right. Should we move on?
I had one really good tweet that was related to the PZ Meyer things before I move on. And this was, of course, Richard Dawkins obviously became. It's not about, my vagina. My vagina has never been on Twitter. It was about a tangential, you know, Dawkins embroyed in the PZ Myers thing, of course. And somebody, a very cool somebody called Buddha Steps, has tweeted Richard Dawkins and said, damn, can't even die without some fool with an agenda showing up to bitch about it.
Agenda or agenda?
Agenda. Agenda.
Agenda. Yes, it was a good tweet. Yeah.
It was a good tweet. So shout that out. Yes. Good. Now what are we on?
And I will link it. I will link it in the podcast notes. Mm-hmm. So that leaves us with.
Are we going to in any way explain all of that retarded fun mom thing?
Okay. So the writer of this post, Nicole Mullen.
Should we give the background to this? Which is that our friend, podcast friend at Clownfall, who linked me the Storifies that we based the last podcast on, linked me an article on this website. What's the website called where these things have been?
Thoughtcatalog.com.
There was some completely horrible, horrible, gratuitous transphobia on it. And we were having a look at some of those articles and they were truly, completely and totally awful. And then this one turned up on the same website. And it is a massive sarcastic diatribe against your social justice warrior transgender person. And it's fairly witty, isn't it? Quite a lot of it sort of hits home in relation to what we were type of person that we were talking about on the last podcast. However, it is quite over the top and it's probably going a bit further than some of us would maybe care to go, she says, under advisement. But that is where this article has come from. So we've just been having a look at a few things that are on this website. It's a bit of an odd place. I can't quite make head nor tail of what the idea behind this website is, but we're certainly not endorsing it.
And the retarded thing was, she has, like a lot of these sites at the bottom, it says the author and then a little bit about them. And Nicole Mullitz at Mullen was just a fun mom and a teacher at a retarded school. I like recipes on my kids. So that was where the, whatever I said, something about being a retarded teacher, school teacher.
Retarded school. I mean, this is not a person who's afraid to offend people, clearly, based on the content of this article. I can't, the thing is that this article in itself, if we'd read it in isolation, we'd be thinking like, yes, like, ha ha, this person has totally got the the measure of the SJWs. However, based on the previous article, it was on the same website, which really was quite distressingly homophobic, I mean transphobic, and really quite horrible. I'm just not totally sure what to make of the whole thing at all. So if anybody's got any idea what the idea behind it is, then do let us know. But yeah, go on, tell about Nicola Mullet, as you keep calling her.
Well, she's just a fun always, mom.
You always find a way to misrepresent people, whether it's misgendering them or mishaircut representing them.
Mishaircut. I mean, man, have you seen her haircut? You don't know that she doesn't have a mullet.
I'd rather be called it than be accused of having a mullet, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
That's without a doubt with an underscore.
Gender.
Were you going to say anything about her?
No. So the first time I read through this article, I skimmed through it like I tend to do to look for anything interesting. It's the defense mechanism after reading Suey Park's timeline. But I got caught a bit off guard because like one of the lines she says was something about Jared Leto after he won his, what did he win, Academy Award, Oscar? Is that the same thing?
That is the same thing.
Yeah. Saying that the idea of someone being the wrong gender is funny. I didn't take the role seriously. And I started, like, that's the bit I tripped over because I'm sure I read something about him taking it very, very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point.
Yes, well, there was a controversy about that, about how he had, about how he as a cis man was taking on the role.
Yeah, but he did take it very, very seriously and like to probably more lengths than most actors would. So at that point, I was like, okay, is this article like spoof? Is it?
Yes, I think it. Well, it is. The whole thing is supposed to be a satire. But
I just
it?
Mean when I was reading through and I first saw the headline and everything, I was like, oh, yeah. Great, this is going to be some
right.
And then I stopped it. Like I was skimming through and stopped at that part. I was like, oh, okay, is this isn't serious, or is it? Mm-hmm. Or did Jared Leto really?
It's not serious.
Or did Jared Leto really say it was a joke? because he's a smart
saying
guy.
That Ellen, as in Ellen DeGeneres, yeah. Has. It calls her an ex-lesbian and has her quoted to saying, I hate drag queens and gay people.
Oh, does that mean Ellen's wife or ex-wife or whatever is also an ex-lesbian? Because she's hot?
No, I don't think either of them are ex-lesbians. I believe that they're still current lesbians, but this thing is saying that people have... I'm assuming that
live in the
criticized
world that this person is creating if it means that she's single now.
That you can get off with Portia de Rossi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be happening any minute now. So you hold your breath. With that, and I'll keep talking. Yeah, oh, he's doing it as well, for fuck's sake. Seriously, you have to contribute. I'm going to need you to return to me. How long can he hold his breath for, ladies and gentlemen, and other things? It's make a good podcast. It's like when you say, if I talk Norwegian, it isn't a good podcast. You don't talk at all and hold your breath. It isn't. It's not quality content. It says here that it's really important to understand that being a good ally it's sort of impressive. It's actually quite long.
Oh, thank you.
God's sake. Oh, why don't I never learn not to say things you can clip and use against me out of context?
In a court of law. So anyways, like I was skimming through it and I just kept stopping because I wasn't sure. The Jared Leto thing was like, well, he could have said that, but he's a smart guy and I don't think he would have said that even if he thought that. So, yeah, eventually I established that it was not really to be taken seriously.
No. The concluding paragraph.
Paragraph. The concluding paraglider flew overhead,
like
spreading mushrooms and joy.
The concluding paragraph says, paragraph. So to anybody who wants to be a good ally, how are we saying that?
Ally.
Please shut up and hang your head in shame. And to my trans friends, I hope you can consider me a positive force in your magnificent, perfect community. I will support you silently, and I patiently await your instructions on how high I should jump. I think that gives us the idea of the flavour of this.
Yeah. I say it seems like a long-winded way of saying fuck off. Which
yeah, fuck off, stop being dicks.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather just say fuck off, to be honest. It seems like a lot of effort. But this somebody else, was it you, that shared another article off this same site? But it was by a guy, and it was very...
Well,
very...
it's me. I'm sharing them with you, but Clownfall is sharing them with me.
Right. And it was along the same sort of sentiment, but far more offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find that now, aren't I? Now I'm going to have to find it
yeah,
and
there,
link it in the document.
There have definitely been a few of them that are extremely offensive. I'm on the blog now or the website looking at the writers, and the one that's called Nicole Mullen actually has a profile picture that's like a, I don't know, is that Benjamin Franklin or something like that off a dollar bill?
Gavin
Most
McInnes.
Of the others have, what?
Gavin McInnes, that's the other one.
Right. Is that the one that wrote the offensive thing?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's my Churchill impression.
Like the dog off the adverts?
No,
like
the Prime Minister who won World War II. We will fight them
but
on the beaches.
Dog doing an impression?
Oh, yes.
Isn't the dog doing an impression of that, though, in those car insurance adverts?
I don't know. I don't know the history of the dog from the car insurance adverts. Anyway, right.
Anyway.
So, yeah, this I will post a link to this one too, but this is, to quote, "You will be totally uncomfortable when your daughter marries a post-op dude and should have no problem, or totally comfortable, sorry, and should have no problems with her smoking his blints, whatever that is. When your dad tells you he's going to have his penis removed and thrown into the bio-waste container at the hospital, your soul will become a placid lake of calm. That's totally normal, Dad, you'll say, and begin to call him Mum too from that day forward," and then, like, loads of other stuff like that, and then eventually gets to, I kid, of course it's fucking unusual. We're all transphobic. We aren't blind. So, and then it gets steadily worse till it's talking about trans men. Oh, sorry, trans women, you're not a woman, you're a tomboy at best. Get fucked in the ass. And ladies, if you're a butch lesbian, you're a lady with a lot of testosterone. Put a dick on a belt and fuck your girlfriend.
It's a pretty horrible article.
Oh, yes.
Mm. But so an odd website. Don't know what's going on there at all. Hard to tell.
I've just received a tweet from our friend Sissexist sharing a Storify. If you'd have only shared it like another 20, 30 minutes, like an hour ago. Jesus, we've been recording for a long time.
I know. Maybe we can do another. If it's a good thing, we'll just do another episode about it. Shall we do the stupid tweets?
Yes. Let's do the stupid tweets because we're both.
I've actually got two. They're both Suey Park. And I see here from the links that yours is Suey Park as well.
Is it? I can't remember. Oh, no, I do remember. Yeah, I remember which one. Stupid woman. Yes, I remember which one it is.
She's a stupid woman. Shall I just go first? Are you ready?
Yep, you go.
I love this. I'm just opening it up here. I love this. This is great. It's from the 12th of August. Is that's now, isn't it? Was it yesterday or today or whatever it is?
Something like that.
Something like that. Very recent. Anyway, it says, "I'm too sad today. I'm too sad today to get out of bed today. Please respect my boundaries today." What the fuck are you tweeting that for? I'm too sad to get out of bed today. Please respect my boundaries. Wouldn't a better way to have people respect your boundaries if you're too sad to get out of bed and you don't want to talk to people be to not go on Twitter at all? Am I wrong? Am I mad? Wouldn't you stay off Twitter? This is Melody Hensley all over again.
Oh,
I'm too sad today to get out of bed today. Please respect my boundaries. What are your boundaries within the paradigm of you being on Twitter saying that to us? Are your boundaries that you're too sad to get out of bed today, so ergo you're not going to work, therefore you want to spend all day tweeting with us? Are your boundaries that you don't want anybody to talk to you because you're too depressed today to talk to anybody, in which case why have you contacted thousands of people?
I like all the replies. Thinking of you, brackets virtual hugs. Sending love, support and solidarity, Suey. Love, heart. Feel better. Twitter will be here tomorrow. Love, heart.
But Twitter's here today, though, you fucking numpty, because she's on Twitter right now at this very point in time, tweeting it to literally the whole entire world. It'll be here tomorrow. Yeah.
One that says, "You deserve self-care. Stay where you need to be. Hugs." I'm just like, you deserve some kind of care.
Where you need to be, like in your padded cell.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, yeah. Have you earned iPhone privileges by not biting the guard today?
And then there's just one that
says,
"At Suey Park, I'm glad you're sad." That's all it says. Nice
would
contrast.
Be sad. The fucking depressing nature of living with that god-awful personality.
Yeah.
You can see where she'd be sad. I mean, literally, so many people have replied to this with these like little hearts that you make out of a less than sign and a three.
That's
oh my God.
It's enabling, really. Like that level of victimhood has got to be unhealthy, and these people are enabling.
And I mean, like that level of victim, are they not being ableist or disablest or God knows what, you know, whatever the fuck you call it? Somebody here has just said, "God bless." Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So go on then. Do you want to read your other tweets in as you pick two?
Seeing as how I picked two, that was one, and that just annoyed me so fucking much that I wanted to include it. So this other one was actually just retweeted by her. Where I have it from is I was looking, stalking, quote unquote, her profile for that.
Not respecting her boundaries.
I was not respecting her boundaries. I was looking at her on public Twitter when she'd been on public Twitter asking me to respect her boundaries. I was really confused. So I looked. I still can't be sure whether that was the right thing to do or not. This was something she retweeted, and it was part of a long series of tweets by the person who had authored the tweet, who is a pro-God and obviously very Christian person who had a lot of stuff about this, and who was doing a long series of tweets where they were disparaging the idea of what they were calling respectability politics. And this person had all sorts, this was a black person from their avatar, had all sorts of things about respectability politics. I love the way they make up these words as they go along. And Sui Park chose to retweet this for reasons obviously best known only unto herself. And it says the following. It's an account called Yolanda Pierce, YN Pierce. It says respectability politics, which was to do with the idea that this black guy that was killed now by the police was on his way to college and was like dressed right and was like a really respectable middle class citizen. So the idea was of respectability politics was obviously that it didn't matter. You didn't need to be like a gangster in a hoodie who was armed to get shot by the police. It could be like a white collar.
Nobody helps. Person.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the idea behind this whole thing. And it's respect. Listen to this. This is just brilliant. Think about it. Just absorb this for a minute. It works on okay. So many levels. Respectability politics didn't work for Jesus. He was completely without sin and was still branded a criminal and crucified for his crimes.
Great.
And not only has this fucking idiot tweeted that in a bunch of other things about how like black kids don't deserve to be shot on the street, no matter whether they're respectable or not. So a lot of arbitrary value judgments on people's characters and moral upstandingness there. But she has then brought Jesus into it as if it's a complete fact that he was completely without sin, complete fact that he was crucified. I mean, I know a lot of people accept that Jesus, the historical figure, is a fact, but the whole entire thing around the crucifixion and resurrection.
Well, we're at it.
Pretty thin ice, aren't you, if you're relating that to a real kid that's just been killed? And Sui Park, of course, who I think is an atheist and normally is criticized. She's got a lot of tweets on this not my Christian leader hashtag. She's been all over that, but that hasn't stopped her using Jesus when it suits her agenda and retweeting this.
Well, we're at it. Let's get on Santa Claus. I mean, I'm pretty sure those elves aren't being paid. I mean, that's slave labor straight up.
It's not even like minimum wage, is it? And it's also definitely ableist. I mean, those guys are short.
It probably is ableist, actually, because the amount of candy canes that they eat, they're bound to get diabetes.
Definitely short and diabetic and being underpaid.
So I'm going to be nice and let you pick one, but you've got to pick one of those tweets.
Well, I've got to pick one out of the two of them.
The one that the listeners will judge on.
I have to say, I quite like Jesus compared to short black teenager. I'm going to have to pick that. Yeah.
Okay, right. And my pick, if I can find it, I don't know why I'm talking like a sheep.
It's right here.
I know, but I was pasting yours in before I forgot. Is from the Sewer Park. I don't actually know what this Josh Zepps thing is about, but from reading the tweets of people talking about it, I find it hard to believe it's going to be anything more than the usual bollocks that comes out of this woman. But yeah. It was this tweet is to do with something to do with Josh Zepps, and it just says, I would correct Josh Zepps, but I just can't enact the Labour. And the reason I went with this one isn't because of the enact the Labour thing, that's become kind of well known. It's now I can't enact the Labour. Not I won't. I can't. I am physically unable to enact the Labour. It is impossible.
Because I'm sad in bed.
Yeah. So that's why I included that one, just because, mainly because of that one word, because now she can't, she's unable to. It's no longer
funnily
a matter
enough,
of she won't.
If you looked at the tweet where she was like in bed all sad, it was almost unstinting support and hearts and, but if you look at this one, people are not loving it. The tweet underneath it says, you realize you can't fix stupid, right? And then somebody says, that condescending tweet implies you even know what you're talking about. Just be quiet. Shh. You're right, in my opinion, but how is correcting his racism not struggle as opposed to just burdensome labour? You know, like people, funnily enough, she's attracted people with that don't unequivocally support her. As far as we can, can't enact any labour.
Just reading that one.
What exactly do you have in common with the average working American?
Oh, yes. Yes, we like that person.
Like that person.
Right, so...
Well done, Dolores Fuller.
So I will put the links to those two tweets, just to recap. Zoe's tweet is Yolanda Pierce, or at YN Pierce. Respectability politics didn't work for Jesus. He was completely without sin and was still branded a criminal and crucified for his crimes. And then mine was at Sui Park, at Sui underscore Park. She's an underscore person, Zoe. You could go out and be like underscore people together. Underscore
friends.
She can't
come to my awesome underscore party. No, she can't. And, I'm going to exclude her on grounds of stupidism.
And that was, I would correct Josh Sepps, but I just can't enact the labour. So those are your choices. I will put the links to them in the show notes. But I think it's about time we announced the winner from last week's.
Yeah. All of two people voted.
Three, actually.
Week.
Three people voted.
Three, Subman, Cregan, and...
Can't remember who the other one was.
No, I can't remember who the other one was.
Are you going to make me look him up on the show?
Are you sure it was three?
I'm positive it was three.
I'm casting aspersions.
Well, either way, it was still two. Either way,
yeah.
It was a 100% victory landslide.
I know it was. It was. Did you see my tweet? I was incredibly witty at your expense.
Yes, I saw that. And that's why I called you a count. So yes, my tweet was the victorious conqueror of Zoe's tweet.
Yes, it was.
Dominated Zoe's tweet.
Don't turn me on.
So I don't know what that makes the scores. I'll work that out when I do the notes. So yes, these are your tweets to judge for next week. Because we're too lazy to just fight over the winner. Besides, Zoe looks a bit butch. I'm wanting to get in a fight with that.
I wouldn't advise it.
So that's it, I think. Yes?
I think that's it. We seem to have concluded today's business. We did warn you beforehand that it would be a little bit of a ramble.
I had thought it'd be a shorter ramble, but yeah, well.
It's never short when it's us, is it?
So this will probably be up at the weekend. Oh geez, I just thought, what if we get a rush of votes and they're all in favour of you before this podcast goes up?
Yeah. Oh right, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because what you won, but that might be out of date before this one goes up, but we'll correct it retrospectively.
Oh right, okay. Right, so this podcast should be up the weekend. We'll try and get another one up for the following weekend, time permitting. Mm-hmm. And we'll hopefully get Anton A. Hill. I don't know how you say it. It doesn't sound like you're saying Anton a Hill.
I think you're supposed to just say Anton a Hill, aren't you?
But it sounds like Anton a Hill. Like, oh, I'm an Ant. I know. I'm on a hill. Because that's how Ant sounds.
The whole joke?
I really thought it was his name.
I think it is his name. But what we'll do when we get him on is the first thing we'll say is, what were your parents thinking?
That's horrible. You're a horrible person.
It'll be fine. No, it'll be fine. Listen, it'll be fine.
I'm sure
he'll love
will.
It. I bet he thinks it's totally hilarious.
Right, so anyway, we'll hopefully be getting him on as soon as we can all be available at the same time. And that's that. Say goodnight, Zoe.
Goodnight, Zoe. Oh, that got more of a laugh than it deserved.
I wasn't expecting it. I should have been.
I totally made you laugh at that. That didn't deserve it, but I'm so glad.
Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight.
Ooh, there's one that's just boobs.
Boobs?
Yeah.